All right. Hi, I'm Scott Snyder. I write All-Star Batman and Witches and American Vampire. I'm working on a book, AD. I'm way overworked, and I'm teaching, and I have kids sick at home. I'm a total mess, but I am very close personal friends with the Court of Nerds, and I'm honored to be on the show anytime.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another rousing episode of Court of Nerds, the podcast brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con. Check them out at grcomiccon.com. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
And I'm Biff.
Yeah, Biff is our special guest today. You guys may know him as something else. I have always loved him as Biff Tannen. Aww. He is playing Friday at the Stash inside the Intersection alongside Defunk, DJ Uno, and I don't know how to pronounce the other person.
I think it's Neus or Neus.
Neus, whatever.
Some guy.
Listen, if they're playing with Biff, Defunk, and Uno, it's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time.
So you guys should show up. Tickets just $12 in advance, $14 day of show inside of the Stash, which is frankly one of my favorite venues in town.
Small.
It is intimate. You can reach out and touch Biff.
You can, or don't.
Or don't.
Or do.
Or whatever. I mean, make it appropriate, yeah. You know, or throw 20s.
Yeah, please do.
Dude, I mean, I'm super excited that you're back doing shows, and I want to talk about this for a little bit. You took a hiatus.
I did, a long hiatus.
You took a long hiatus, and now you're back. And I guess, what's the one thing you're most excited about being back on stage?
The live aspect, just being able to see the crowd react to music in general. I haven't had that in a while. Like, I played Mulligan's a little while ago.
Yep.
That was cool. Like, there were some people showed up, but it was like a really spontaneous show. I like got contacted that Monday, and then I was playing Friday. So it was like, okay, yeah, no one's showing up. Like, I had like 10 people. But no, the Stash is like super chill. I think they've got new lighting in there too since the last time I played. So it's just more of being intimate with the people and just reading the crowd. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And being able to play to them. So that's the most exciting part because I never plan sets out. I just kind of play as I go.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Absolutely. And yeah, you definitely great lighting setup, great sound inside of the Stash.
Yes.
Chad, Scott, and the crew over at the Intersection always do it right. They always do it big.
Killing it.
So do you think they're going to get you a pizza? Have you seen all the artist
pizzas? No, I'm not that cool.
No, you think Defunk's going to get like a robot pizza though?
He might. Yeah, I think it's going to be that robot head that he's got going on right now. That might be pretty dope.
Is it like BC Pizza?
BC Pizza, sure guys they're killing it. Yeah, BC Pizza is killing it with the artist pizzas.
Stacey, if you haven't seen this, every time an artist comes through the Intersection or the Stash, BC Pizza makes a pizza and cuts their logo into the pizza.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So it's super cool. If you guys haven't liked the Intersection on Facebook, do it.
Yep.
And make sure that if you guys want to go to this show on Friday night, save some money on tickets, hit up Biff in advance.
Yeah, get a hold of me. You can contact me on Twitter at HeyBiff, or you can find me on Facebook at HeyBiff.
And then you got a few new tunes up on SoundCloud still, right?
Yeah.
That people might not have heard.
Yeah, no, my new album just dropped in March. So it's been a couple months, but Bandcamp, like you can get my whole discography for less than $3.
Boom. And it's worth it. I still bump your first CD in my car. Whenever it's good to turn the like windows down, Biff up.
Yep. So that's what I hear all night. Wait.
Wow.
Well, listen, it's a big nerd week, and we wanted to do a podcast, not just to bring Biff back on and talk about the show, but to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this movie has so much hype around it, it's ridiculous.
It is kind of redonk.
The whole cast is back, plus some.
Plus.
And you've got great new characters being introduced.
Yes.
And I think we all know we're probably going to love the movie. I know, Stacey, you're going on Thursday night, right? Are you coming?
No.
What? What?
I know.
What?
I know.
Sacrilegious. You're fired.
I am helping a friend in need.
Okay.
Still fired.
Right. I mean, she's going on a date.
I don't know you like that, otherwise I'd make really bad jokes.
I can make those jokes. She might decapitate you. But on Thursday night, John, Ben, and myself will for sure be at Celebration Cinema North. You guys, if you see us, please say hi.
Yes.
Ben's the guy who looks like a tall Swedish hockey player, and I'll be the fat beardy guy next to him. And then you got John looks like Mario.
Just look for a guy with spaghetti in his hands.
Yeah. Bibbidi bobbidi. He'll probably be shouting something, waving a breadstick. He's going to punch me for that. But
love you, John.
Biff, I'm going to start with you. What is the one thing you're most excited about for this movie?
I'm just excited that it's here. Honestly, I mean, God, it's like the first one ended. I left the theater and I was like, we need more of this now.
Right, like, the characters were so engaging.
Seriously, it was engaging. The acting was excellent. The cinematography was amazing. And I got to say, the CGI was definitely... I mean, the Marvel Universe has always been really good with their CGI, and it's been super on point. Like, you're not like, oh, this is cheesy or this is crappy. Like, but I don't know. I feel like Guardians really outdid themselves. You got, like... See, I got to say, and I'm going to commit a little bit of a sin here. I got to say that I wasn't a big fan of Civil War.
No, that's okay. That's not a sin. That's a pretty divisive point in the Marvel Universe.
And it's just like, God, man, you know, why, you know, is this just for exposition? Why did this movie have to happen? I feel like it was just exposition and explanation.
Right. And it was a lot of that. It absolutely was a lot of that. But if you look at Guardians, the first one, and it's something that I wanted to talk about today, because the Marvel Universe now doesn't have a creative architect. Mm. You know, that was Joss Whedon's job.
Right.
Now, the Russo brothers, who are doing Avengers Infinity War, have kind of been the de facto guys in the lead. But I actually fully believe that James Gunn is the guy for the job.
Really?
To be the next creative director. And I'm going to pitch both of you, and you guys can tell me agree or disagree.
Sure.
But James Gunn took a group of completely unknown characters to the majority of the public, right?
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, not mainstream heroes.
Right.
They're not even Iron Man, who was considered C-list before the solo movie.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, before the solo movie, Iron Man was not a main character in the Marvel Universe. Right. I'm sorry. It's really hot in our studio. And Biff and Stacy are like fanning each other.
It's an actual fan.
Yeah, it's real fans.
You can hear it.
You can hear it right there.
I'm not like, I don't have a balsam tree over here, and I'm like, waver.
But how badass would that be if that you would did?
That would just play.
I feel like Cleopatra.
Right, exactly. But anyways, yeah, sorry.
But James Gunn took this group of unknown characters, then created the universe that they live in.
Right.
Then created side characters that we also care enough about.
True.
That they've been brought back in this second movie. He did what Joss Whedon did in the original Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, Loki, never an A-list Marvel villain.
Never.
Never. But I'll be damned if you can't spout off with, I am Loki of Asgard, and I am burdened with glorious purpose. And everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And like, with Star... We're the Guardians of the Galaxy, bitch. I realize it was cliched, but it was perfect. And Chris Pratt delivered that line perfectly.
Yeah.
James Gunn got the best performances out of every actor in that film. And that includes the voice actors.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? No, absolutely. I mean, even to be Vin Diesel and do Groot and just kill it. You know. I mean, how many times? I think it was like he did it over like 800 or 900 times. It wasn't just recorded once or twice.
And no.
Just revamped. So.
And they did that because his attention to detail is so... there.
Right.
And that's what you need if you're building an entire universe.
And here's the thing too. If you're doing that, you need to stay consistent. And that's what I want to see in number two. And then if there's a possibly number three, you know, that consistency is going to be hard to follow as you continue to go on in your career. It's easy to get pigeonholed into one idea or just become jaded. And go, you know, I'm gone, so whatever, fuck you. You know? I mean, but it can happen, and it has happened, and we've seen it happen.
Yeah. Well, and this is a guy that Marvel's big bosses will love, the budget guys, the money guys.
Right.
Because, I mean, yeah, sure, you give him a big budget to make Guardians 2, and he's going to use it.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who made a hit out of Slither, which cost nothing to
make. Yeah.
You know, and I don't think he had that big of a budget for the original Guardians.
Yeah, I'm not sure because I don't look at movie budgets that often, but I'm sure it's probably doubled since the first one came out.
Well, because the first one was a smash hit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the big thing to me that I love the most is the soundtrack, the consistency.
Yeah, yeah.
We're music guys.
Yes.
Stacey's a music girl, right? We have soundtracks to moments in our lives.
Yep.
And there are now songs when I hear them on the radio. They're specifically in my head. That's all Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Man, you know.
Or it's like from a different moment in your life when you hear it in the movie and you're like, it touches you in a different way. And not like your dad at night.
No, not like in an awkward, uncomfortable way. Not like when Grant used to be here.
Memories.
But Gunn is a guy who seems dedicated to the Marvelverse, right?
Yes.
He's not Joss Whedon level big.
No, and, you know, will he get there? Yeah.
Eventually.
But I don't know if I want it to happen super fast, though, either.
True. Well, he doesn't, you know, phase two is done with Marvel. We're now moving into phase three.
Right.
But Phase 3 is supposed to end after that second Avengers movie that the Russos are doing that have a title yet. So maybe you hand Gunn the reins for after that. You hand him the reins, you let him take control, because Joss isn't coming back now.
No.
There was a lot of speculation that Marvel just wanted to let Joss take some time off. But now that he signed with DC, if we've learned one thing, it's that the bosses at Marvel are vindictive.
Yes.
And they are angry people. I mean, they couldn't get the movie rights back to Fantastic Four, so they canceled the comic book.
Right.
You know? They can't get Fox to play nice with mutants.
Yeah.
So guess what? They retconned Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch to not be mutants anymore in the comic book.
Right. Yep.
Which is an essential part of their storyline.
It is, absolutely.
You know, it's not like people were like, Peter Parker's supposed to be a white guy.
Right.
No, it doesn't. There's nothing intrinsically white about Peter Parker.
Right.
But Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were part of the intrinsic first family of mutants.
Yes.
You know, and now it's like, well, nope, they're inhumans.
Then how does that work?
Terrigan gas.
Right, okay.
That does sound, that seems overly vindictive.
It is, it is. And that's what Marvel's, I guess, commanders in chief have shown is that if we can't make a profit off of it, like a big profit, because let's be honest, we love comic books.
Yeah.
They don't make the most money anymore.
No, they don't.
You make money on your movie verse, which then surges your comics.
Exactly. And I mean, this is just a digital world, and that's how it's got to be at this point.
Right. And comics aren't as good digitally. I'm not going
to
lie about
it. No, I mean, I try to like read manga or anything on like the digital platform, and it's not the same.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's the feel of a comic book in your hands is something different. And as
or to be able to go down to the store and be like, hey, what's new today?
Right, what's in my pull drawer? How you guys doing?
Yep.
On that note, by the way, we will be out at Free Comic Book Day at Vault of Midnight in the morning. We're going to be part of their new giveaway system this year. There is a prize wheel of doom.
Oh, my God.
And Caitlin and the whole crew down at Vault are super excited. 10 a.m. The doors open. You're going to want to get there early if you want to make sure you get your free books.
Yeah, they're going to go quick.
Yeah, and then we're also going to stop over to Tardy's later in the afternoon, say hi to Gavin and the whole crew over there. And then I believe our good friend Justin Bartz from Project Shadowbraid is doing a signing in town somewhere.
Nice.
So I'm going to have to go find Justin at some point. It's going to be a busy Free Comic Book
I think
day.
Did he sell out of all of his...
congratulations to Justin. He went to drop off our promo copies of Project Shadowbreed number 3, and the stores were like, actually, we need those to sell to people.
No shit.
We need those to sell to people. So
that's awesome.
If there is anyone out there who is frustrated and working on a comic book, please listen to our podcasts over the past 2 years with Project Shadowbreed with Justin.
Yep.
His journey has been unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's a hard game to play, man, but you got to stick with it.
And he hasn't quit, and that's full props to Justin. Full props to his beautiful wife, Holly, for supporting him through
all
of it. That's
the big thing.
Yeah, and he would say the same thing. She is his editor. She is his rock.
Dang.
And she's a badass.
Yeah.
She's a line dropper, too.
Oh, she could kill me.
She drops some good lines for that.
Yeah, she's badass. I love Holly. But to get back into the Guardians of the Galaxy, because even the success of the movies hasn't been able to move the comic books more.
Right.
And this one, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, has a chance to really bring everyone deeper into the Marvel cosmic world.
Yeah.
You know, and before they intersect in Avengers Infinity War, because you've already seen the shots of Chris Pratt on set.
Right.
You know, you've seen him with Robert Downey Jr. and with Tom Holland, Iron Man and Spider-Man, respectively.
Right.
Knock over my soda here. I'm gesturing wildly.
Careful.
It's like John's here. wild hand gestures.
Oh, boy.
Well, he knows. Hippity-boppity.
With the fingers attaching.
But I guess, Stacy, for being the least comic book nerdy of the crew.
Yes, that is my official title.
That is your official title is like tech girl. You're my Apple's a piece of shit and you know, this camera is a lie and
yeah, that's me.
That's my girl.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? What are you know, because I know you're going to go see Guardians Volume 2.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What are you looking for from this movie?
I mean, it's actually on the TV right now.
Wow.
Surprisingly enough, how coincidental
is
that?
Oh. It's a sign you have to go.
Yeah.
On Thursday.
I'm sorry, what was the question? I was
distracted. What are you
Chris
looking forward
Pratt.
To the most?
In Guardians?
Yeah, in Guardians Volume 2.
Okay, so here's the thing with Guardians and me, though. I'd never heard of it before.
No.
Before the movie came out.
Right.
Okay. Didn't even realize it was a comic. I thought it was just something they came up with. I
can guarantee you 90% of the population was like that, too.
Well, what I love about it is that even though I had no idea about it, like, I know about Spider-Man and Superman.
Of course.
You know, the big guys,
yeah,
okay? I get those.
Your money makers.
Yeah. Could really give two shits on any of those movies that come out, but I want to see Guardians.
Right.
Because they're They're the lesser known names.
Yep.
They have extraordinary chemistry. I thought that the plot of the first one was fantastic. The acting, like, it was an all around fantastic movie.
Exactly.
Soundtrack, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to see the second one for the same reasons.
Right.
I'm hoping that they will do what they did in the first one and the second one, because it seems like whenever there's a number two or volume two, as they put it on there.
Yeah.
That it always just kind of disappoints.
It can.
So there's part of me that's like really nervous about it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to ruin the first one for me, but overall it's the characters, and Chris Pratt is so silly and fun, and that's he's my favorite. Starting out with I actually saw him, you're gonna laugh at me. He was on Everwood.
Oh my god.
Really?
An Everwood reference.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. One in the history of this podcast.
That's the second one. That's the second one
prior to this.
I made the first one.
Of course you did. Of course.
He was on Everwood, and then he was on Parks and Rec. Okay.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So ever since then I've always just kind of really loved him as an actor, and seeing him as the lead, but still being quirky and looking like
he's being Chris
Steve
Pratt,
Mel, then it's perfect. I mean, what more could you want?
Yeah. No, and I agree with you. I think the chemistry of the cast, I think the general casting of the film was a big plus in the first one.
Yeah.
Because people were surprised, wait, Chris Pratt's doing this movie?
Right.
Like, wait, Zoe Saldana's doing this movie?
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper's doing this movie?
Right, yeah.
As a raccoon?
Raccoon?
The things I'm worried about, because I want to get into that too. Because
yeah, no, we have to.
It's not all sunshine and roses.
It's not going to be.
I'm nervous about Baby Groot.
Okay, yeah.
I'm nervous about it being overused, about it being overutilized. And the thing that frustrates me, and this is going to be the most nerdy, nitpicky thing of the day.
Yep.
He would have grown back by now.
Yeah, okay, I'll
like,
give you
depending
that.
On when this movie is set, like how soon
and
after
that's the
first
thing.
One.
Right.
But Groot would have regenerated by now.
Yeah.
He would have regenerated.
I mean, you're a mutated
wow.
tree. Like, are you not going to grow fast?
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All but right. It's...
Shut up, Stacey.
Maybe it's a slow-growing tree.
It's a slow...
He's a redwood.
He's a redwood. I don't... And I was discussing this with someone else the other day. I don't like that they put Star-Lord's dad in the trailer.
Oh,
gave
it should have. Yeah, that should have been a surprise.
Like, yes, I read every rumor on the internet. I already knew what you know what the play was going to be.
Yep.
But like, man, that was a moment that you just kind of gave to people.
Yeah, that's a little much.
You know, I'm nervous about that. And the soundtrack looks great, and I'm not nervous about that anymore.
No.
But I am nervous about the expansion of the cast.
Yeah.
Are you going to water down those great moments that Stacey loved in the first? Are you going to
right?
Are you going to lose some of those? You know. Are you going to lose some of the moments that you had between Star-Lord and Rocket because Rocket's off with Yondu and Baby Groot?
Oh yeah.
Are you going to, you know, are you going to have too much of Drax?
Yeah, it might go into like three or four different story arcs for all we know.
Right. It looks like they kind of the team splits up to attack things on multiple fronts.
Right.
Didn't they already develop some of those characters though? Like
I mean, they've been developed, but part of the fun was the way they worked together.
Right. And now they're not going to be together.
See, I'm thinking that they're going to keep that and then just add in the extra stuff. That's my hope.
Okay.
I see why you're nervous about it, but as a writer, that's kind of what you have to do. You establish that relationship, and then you have to add to it. So there's already people know the history of that character, so you have the relationship that's already formed, but then you add in these other side characters, and it changes the dynamic. So you still have those same relationships, but the dynamic shifts just a little bit. And that's the piece that I'm hoping that they're going to do is just shift that dynamic just a little bit to still keep it interesting, but give us enough external characters to make something new.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense too.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you that. You know, the big thing is like, can you make us fall in love with those new characters, developing those relationships at the same time? And I think that's probably Drew's biggest concern.
Yeah.
Not that if these characters can hold a story arc on their own, because they absolutely can, but can those new relationships develop into something that I want to see later down the road?
Right. And I mean, you've got, you know, you're adding in Mantis, Nebula's coming back.
That's a lot of new adds, man.
I'm really curious what Sly Stallone's character is going to be like, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
There's a lot of questions that I have, and I'm excited to get the answers to them. I won't lie. You know, I'm excited. But we'll see. The other thing I want to talk about with this, and I did some research, is the rise in sci-fi movies that are getting made mm-hmm. since Guardians was such a hit in 2014. Because you saw Arrival, which is a straight-up sci-fi film nominated for an Oscar this year.
Yeah. I guess I didn't think about that.
You know,
and that doesn't happen.
It doesn't. And I think I love that, you know, a goofy movie about a group of intergalactic assholes
right.
is going to, you know, push sci-fi into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, there's a sci-fi influence on your music, Biff.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know, and it's I've been a sci-fi fan since I was a kid, since I was watching Star Wars on VHS in my buddy Kyle's basement.
Yep.
You know, and that's something that, to me, getting more of that, and, you know, you and I are both dads.
Yep.
Being able to take our kids to these sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
And having them make sci-fi movies that are appropriate for kids. I mean, even the resurgence of the Star Wars franchise.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's huge too, because I mean, you know, in the 70s and stuff like that, things were a little bit more lenient.
Yeah.
People are triggered and they need their safe spaces now and all this other stuff, and it's like,
yeah.
Okay, so everything's going to be fine for my 14-year-old to come look, or my 10-year-old or whatever, and it's like, okay, cool. You know, but then you have the other hand where people are taking their 8, 9, and 10-year-olds to go see Logan. And it's like, oh.
Yikes. Oh, no, wait, okay. No. Oh, don't do that.
I know. Well,
31-year-old me could barely handle that movie.
Right. But, I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, but my concern is with, and it's awesome that sci-fi is becoming more mainstream. But with that, are we going to get, not that there isn't already shitty sci-fi movies out there, because there is, but are we going to get there? It's not going to be classified as B-class movies anymore. It's going to be these AAA titles that are coming out. They're going to be fully funded, and they're going to be shit.
Well, there's already one of those, Passengers movie.
Yeah.
Passengers was awful.
I'll give you that.
Yep. You know, and I wanted it to be good.
Of course.
But it was a really classic sci-fi trope that they started with.
Right.
That they just shit the bed on.
Well, and it's easy to do if you, like, once again, falling into being jaded and not caring about shit.
Right.
Like, it happens. Like, oh, okay, we got a decent cast and we got a decent script and all right, let's just shoot it. Oh, throw some CG at it. All right, we'll call it good.
Well, there's a robot. He malfunctions.
Amazing.
Like, we've got two sexy stars. We'll have them be sexy in space.
As long as we've got enough to make a trailer that's wonderful. People will pay to see it, and we're good.
We just get people into the damn theater.
Right.
So, that being said, I think Guardians will perform incredibly well.
Yes.
It's outpacing Age of Ultron in pre-sales.
Oh, I can believe that.
And frankly, I couldn't be more excited to go see it opening night. We will have our review up. Well, we'll have our live discussion after the movie, and then written review will be up probably Friday morning. Depending on Ben waking up in time. you trust the writer to write, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what you do. Do it.
So be sure to check that out. Friday night, after you've seen Guardians on Thursday, head to the stash inside the intersection.
Yes.
Go see Biff Tannen.
Get a hold of me.
I mean, defunct too, whatever. But
I mean,
and that other guy
act.
You can't pronounce his name of.
Yeah, Neos, Neos. Dude, I'm sorry. I'm going to learn how to say your name on Friday. And then, of course, DJ Uno going to be playing as well.
Yep.
Biff, I'm so excited to see you back on stage, dude.
I'm excited for you to be there.
I'm freaking stoked. Can't wait for it. Stash Friday. Keep your ears open, by the way. I believe there's a new That's So Braven coming out this week.
Oh.
And the hit podcast from the woods of Connecticut, Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood. And the equal hit, Mr. Sledge's After Party, which is dirty and raunchy. And I love it. Stacy's looking at me like, Sledge gets dirty? Oh, Stacy. Oh, the sledging.
I've only talked to him about cars.
That being said, I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
And I'm Biff.
And we are the Court of Nerds, brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Do you like the sound of our voices more than we do? Well, make sure you listen to the podcast on thecourtofnerds.com. Also be our friends on Facebook, because we need everyone we can get. And follow us on Twitter, because occasionally we retweet.